You are God's children whom He loves, so try to be like Him.
Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ.
He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God.
Listen, don't let any kind of immorality be breathed among you.
Any demoralizing behaviors, perverse sexual acts, uncleanliness, greediness, and the like are inappropriate topics of conversation for those set apart as God's people.
Don't swear or spurt nonsense.
Don't make harsh jokes or clown around.
Make proper use of your words and offer them thankfully in praise.
You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God.
For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world.
Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things.
Therefore, do not become their partners.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord.
Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord.
Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but expose them.
For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret.
Everything exposed by the light is made clear, for what makes everything clear is light.
Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you.
So be careful how you live. Be mindful of your steps.
Don't run around like idiots as the rest of the world does.
Instead, walk as the wise.
Make the most of every living and breathing moment, because these are evil times.
Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do.
Don't drink wine excessively.
The drunken path is a reckless path.
It leads nowhere.
Instead, let God fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord.
And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Pastor Bob Deffenbaugh shares about a time that he attempted to do his own body work on the family car. This is what Bob says. Several months ago, our blue Volkswagen Jetta was involved in an accident, rearranging the front end. I opted to repair the car myself. I went to a place that sold used Volkswagen parts. There were several Jettas in this small wrecking yard with similar body styles. I was looking each car over to find the body parts which were in the best condition. Among these Jettas, I was more than delighted to find a blue one. Since its body parts were in very good condition, I bought them. As I was completing this repair project, I was amused and just a little proud that I had been able to obtain parts which were the same color. I didn't even have to repaint the car. Now, it was getting dark as I finished the repair work. My daughter, Jenny, and I decided to take it for a drive and to drive it to the service station and fill the fuel tank. Under the lights of that service station, I realized something I had not previously known. Volkswagen has more than one dark blue. The new body parts were not the same color. Now, they were similar, but not identical. In the darkness, the difference was unnoticeable, but in the light, the discrepancy was obvious. Friends, light has a way of exposing what darkness tends to conceal. You've had those moments, as I've had now, when perhaps you're trying to read some very fine print on a label somewhere and the lights are a bit dim, and you know that if I'm going to be able to discern what this label is saying, I've got to position myself where? I've got to bring that object under a bright light so that I can more readily read what is there to be seen. And friends, this is precisely the truth upon which the Apostle Paul bases his instruction in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. In the darkness, the difference may be unnoticeable, but light has a way of exposing what darkness tends to conceal. You see, the Word of God, it lights our pathway, it gives us insight and direction and guidance. Reading and meditating upon the Word of God can purify our conscience, renew our minds, and drive away the darkness that is continually pressing in upon our lives. The light of God's Word enables us to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong. It brings greater clarity to how we live our lives each and every day. And the light that God provides through His instruction can even help us to see the differences between the good, the better, and the best. How often we settle for the good when what God offers to us is His very best. Verses 6 through 14 were part of our responsive reading this morning. And we see once again that as Christians who have been delivered from darkness, we must perform every action, consider every decision, and examine every motive with the light of Christ. So very quick review. We've seen, first of all, in verse 6, that we must be aware of the deceptions that are being promoted by the world. Verse 6, Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty arguments." Paul pleaded with his readers not to be led astray with empty words that minimize the seriousness of sin and the holiness of God. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments. Secondly, we've seen that we must run from those who encourage us to disobey God. Verses 6 and 7. Paul says that God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners. Paul warned his readers about the herd mentality that sweeps people away into a life of sin. And of such people, Paul is clear about what we are to do. We're to run. Do not join them. Do not be coerced. Don't let the ones cheering you on to join them in their faulty thinking sway you one bit. For as Paul says, the wrath of God is coming. Stay away. Now we come to a third point that Paul presents here, that we must think and act as one who has stepped out of darkness into light. We must think and act as one who has stepped out of darkness into light. Verses 8 through 10. Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord." Now, the Apostle Paul is quite familiar with the kind of social environment from which these Christian converts had come. And he full well knew about the darkness of the society that was continually pressing in on them. In fact, we can back away from the city of Ephesus and take in all of humanity since the very beginning. Because for all of humanity, each of us at one time lived in complete darkness concerning the things of God. The Apostle Paul once described those who lived their lives apart from God and lived in rebellion against Him. Paul wrote to the church in Rome about such people that their foolish minds were filled with darkness. And in this letter to the church in Ephesus, in the fourth chapter, he says, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives us because they closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Friends, the only hope that we have in the midst of this darkness is to be found in Jesus. Amen. The only hope we have is to be found in Jesus. And it was for the purpose of bringing light into this dark world that Jesus entered our world. Jesus said, I have come as light into the world so that whoever believes in me would not stay in darkness. So having believed in Jesus, we've been rescued from our enslavement to sin. We've been granted forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, and we now find our home in the kingdom of Christ, where we seek to live in obedience to God. Paul said to the believers in Colossae that God has freed us from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Son paid for our sins, and in him we have forgiveness. In his first letter to the church in Thessalonica, he said, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and to the night. As Paul has already noted in Ephesians chapter 5, it is our duty and privilege to imitate God, verse 1, to walk in love, verse 2, and it is our obligation to steer clear of sin, verses 3 through 6. Friends, Paul's encouragement is simply this. We should not live like those who are walking in darkness. The Apostle Peter agreed with Paul when he wrote in his first letter to his Christian readers, where he said, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. When the Apostle Paul appeared before King Agrippa to give a defense of his ministry, Paul explained the purpose for which Christ has called him, as Jesus said to Paul in a vision from heaven. Speaking to King Agrippa, Paul shared this, the words of Jesus to him. It will be your mission to open their eyes, that is, the eyes of the Gentiles, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. This is so that they may receive forgiveness of all their sins and have their place among those who are set apart for a holy purpose through having faith in me. Friends, I'm a part of those Gentile people, and it's likely that you are as well. Hasn't God been so good and kind to bring the good news of Jesus within our reach, that we may be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the domain of Satan to the domain of God's own Son? You see, the Apostle Paul here is encouraging the Ephesian Christians to conduct their lives as those who are walking as children of light. He shared this encouragement with the Christians in Corinth as well. In his second letter to them, Paul wrote this, God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, and this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. This power that God provides, this light shining in our hearts, enables us to leave those dark deeds behind us and to begin a walk in newness of life that Jesus provides. As Paul said to the believers in Rome, the darkness of night is dissolving as day's light draws near. So walk out. Walk out on your old dark life and put on the armor of light. May we all act as good and respectable people, living today the same way as we will in the day of His coming. Do not fall into patterns of dark living. Patterns such as wild partying, drunkenness, sexual depravity, decadent gratification, quarreling, and jealousy. And as Paul is speaking to the believers in Ephesus, he indicates that walking in the light of Christ brings no less than two benefits to the Christian. The first is this, that walking in the light of Christ produces fruit that benefits us and honors God. Walking in the light produces fruit that benefits us and honors God. He speaks, first of all, about the fruit of goodness. Now, this goodness, as any writer of that day and those who read in the original language would have understood, goodness speaks of a generosity and spirit toward others. It's one who is being kind toward others. Goodness describes the nature of a person who is benevolent in all their relationships. They're not looking out for number one. They're not looking only to their own interests. Their concern is the needs of others. Goodness speaks of an excellence that sets them apart from the crowd. Goodness brings out the best in people. They're upright in character. They're positive in their attitude. Goodness simply produces quality people. A man of good character will bring forth act of goodness out of the abundance of his life. A friend's goodness is more than a mere effort at positive thinking. It's a lifestyle that is produced by the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. The second fruit of which Paul writes is the fruit of righteousness. Righteousness means that an individual has a right relationship with God. And out of that right relationship with God, there will come a right relationship sought in regard to others, as we willingly give to both God and to others what is rightfully due to them. You see, to be right standing, to be in right standing with God, is to have the approval of God, which he freely grants and gives to all who have placed their trust in God's Son. And this right standing with God has been purchased for us through His Son's death on the cross for our sins. The third fruit that Paul mentions here is that of truth. And as Paul uses this term, it's more than just the mind being able to correctly understand reality. It's more than just a belief. We must not only be familiar with the truth, as Paul is teaching here, we must live the truth. We don't merely affirm the truth, we live it, for we're ready to be used by God for His purposes. So walking in the light of Christ produces fruit that benefits us and honors God. But secondly, Paul tells us that walking in the light of Christ enables us to know what is pleasing to God and what is not. We understand the importance of light when it comes to moving about in our physical world. After the sun has set and all has become dark, we need the presence of light to guide us. We need the presence of light to help us make out the details of our surroundings. Friends, the potential for danger greatly increases when we simply cannot see where we're going. The use of a flashlight to walk, or the use of headlights to drive, becomes not only helpful, it's very essential. It's necessary. And in a spiritual sense, we need the light that God provides in order to find our way through this earth, through this world, safely. As the psalmist noted, speaking to God, he said, "Your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." So when we are walking in the light of Christ, that light also helps us to understand the flaws and the imperfections and the outright sin in our lives that needs attention and correction. We will learn to understand what is pleasing to God and what is not. William Barclay talks about the day in which Jesus lived, and in some sense, I find it to be a reality right up to the present day in places like Jerusalem, where people, they just set up shop wherever they happen to be. And they'll have a tent erected and their goods will be inside. If you go near the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem, they're often one wing. You've got some above ground architecture that once you enter inside, it's like a long, deep, dark tunnel. And the only light provided might be by a weakly shining string of lights that goes down the center of that pathway for, 200, 300 yards. And inside those archways, dark as they may be, people have set up shop. Some are rather elaborate. It's like they've been there for decades and they've just made themselves very comfortable. Others, it's nothing more than a tent with their goods piled up inside. And as you make your way down that long tunnel, people are reaching out to you, especially if they know you've got American dollars. Maybe not so much anymore, but back when I was there, certainly. You want to buy something? We got it. And you know what I found? It was a bit amusing. You could find on DVD in these bazaars, DVDs of movies that had not even been in the theaters yet. Now, how do they do that? Resourceful people, some of them are. Somehow they managed to get a hold of the original copy and then duplicated that movie by the thousands of copies and were selling it, pirated, right there within the confines of the city of Jerusalem. William Barclay shares what it was like years ago, and I don't think it's changed all that much. He says, in the bazaars of the East, the shops are often simply little covered enclosures with no windows. Now, a man might wish to buy a piece of silk or an article of beaten brass. But before he buys it, he takes it out to the street and he holds it up to the light of the sun. So that light might reveal any flaws that happen to be in that garment of silk or that item made of brass. Friends, it is the same. In a spiritual sense, for you and for me, there is much within our lives that is imperfect, that is flawed, and is downright wrong. And in the darkness, we may be able to conceal it for a period of time. But it is in the light of Christ that everything in our lives can be exposed to us for what it is. And maybe for us, ourselves, we for the first time begin to realize what needs to be changed, what needs to be corrected, what needs to be addressed by our Heavenly Father. We see ourselves more clearly, and we better understand, we come to better understand what God desires for us, so that the process of being transformed and becoming more like Jesus, the perfect original, can continue in our hearts and lives. Amen. It's the process Paul referred to when he wrote to the believers in Rome, "Do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind." And as a result, you'll be able to discern what God's will and whatever God finds good, pleasing and complete. As Christians who have been delivered from darkness, we must perform every action, consider every decision, and examine every motive with the light of Christ. So when it comes to this matter of how we live our lives, where do we start? Where do we find ourselves? Are we preferring to walk, as many do, in the darkness of this world? Or are we seeking to walk in the light of Christ? It was true 2 weeks ago, it was true last week. This week it's still true. Where we start with the Word of God. God's Word is the written expression of God's own heart and mind that reveals to us all that He wants us to know about Himself, and as long as we're at it, to know about ourselves as well. It's a lamp that guides our footstep in dark times, a light that illumines the pathway ahead of us. It's truth. It's our weapon of defense against the forces of darkness. It's the tool that God uses to purify our lives. It reveals to us the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. It brings knowledge of eternal life. Friends, the instructions of the Lord are correct, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are pure. They light up the way. Let us pray.